Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable inviting you to stay tuned today for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We've got a lot of things to bring you from God's Word today, and I just pray that you will take time to listen, and not just listen with your ears, but listen with your heart today. That's the target of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and work with us today. I'm confident of that, because we're going to declare what Jesus says from His Word. Praise the Lord. And He has a message for all of us who are Christian today. And if you're not a Christian, He has a very special, special message for you today. So we want you to hear it. We don't want you to miss it. He's preserved it in His Word down through the centuries of time to our generation. And once again, we're going to open up the book and we're going to read the Holy Scriptures. And we pray that it will find a place in your heart. Praise God. Amen. We're so glad that you're tuned in today right here on WMAF. We're glad for you in North Florida who are making this a regular part of your devotional life. We thank you for allowing us the privilege of ministering Christ to you and the Word of God to you. Amen. We're glad for the ministers, fellow ministers there in North Florida, the Madison area. We are in league with you to spread the gospel, to declare and proclaim Jesus Christ to as many as that will hear it. And we're glad that you are there. And for those of you that broadcast right here on WMAF, we're happy to be partnered with you to reach others for Jesus Christ. You pastors in Madison, we love you, all of you, and we know that God loves you. I read that in the book of Revelation, that He holds us as ministers in His right hand. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? He has to hold me and uphold me, but He does. I've been called a lot of things. One of the things I haven't been called is a star. I don't mean like a movie star. I'm just talking about a luminary for Jesus that He holds in His hand. Praise God. But God gives us that great privilege, and we love all of you, and we pray for you. And we pray that you will pray for us. Let's get together in our spiritual focus and vision to work together with God as He works together with us to reap the great harvest in these days. Praise the Lord. We have a great subject today. We're going to talk about "Come unto Me," these wonderful words of Jesus, this great challenge and opportunity. We're going to talk about the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just before we get into our message, if you would like to visit our website, just type in on Google, which is a great search engine, and I know it's going to come up the very first one if you put in the THCOG, which stands for the Holy Church of God. But THCOG, very simple. THCOG will take you to our homepage of our website, our Declaration of Faith, sermons that are there. In fact, it's so convenient to download now. You can download directly onto an iPod or any MP3 player. And it's really been a blessing, evidently, because this past Sunday, there were several downloads from South Korea and other places on the globe and in the States, even from Hollywood, California, and Washington, D.C. Praise God. Amen. So we're grateful. Amen. And we kid a little bit, and we say we're very thankful that the president is getting the Word of God to help him and guide him. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know who downloaded from Washington, D.C., but wouldn't that be something? Praise the Lord. Amen. I do know one thing. I do know if you're still listening today, it's not by accident that we are connecting right now. We have come prayerfully to bring you the Word today, that God would send His Word to the people that will hear it, people He wants to speak to from His Word today. I'm going to declare and proclaim His Word, but He is the only one that can speak directly, distinctly to your heart. I know that He will if you will listen today to Him Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to get right into our message today. Come unto me, the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to put two particular verses in context at Matthew 11:25-29. It says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And then he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I love what that commentary, that great old commentary, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says of this scripture. It says of Christ's promise of rest, that rest which the soul experiences when once safe under Christ's wing makes all yokes and burdens light. Hallelujah. I like that. The Geneva Study Bible says there is no true knowledge of God nor quietness of mind, but only in Christ alone. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," he's not just talking about coming into some religious system or structure. It is personal. It is about a relationship, not just about a religion. And the Christian religion, as it's called, can only be fully understood, appreciated, and appropriated if we understand the relationship is more important than anything else in the Christian faith, is being reconciled unto God for the primary purpose of relationship. So Jesus, when he said, "Come unto me," clearly delineated between the practice of dead, impotent religious tradition and the life-changing power of a living God. Friends, sin weighs down the soul and torments the mind. Guilt and fear imprison fallen men and women. Worry and anxiety, like heavy chains, continue to weigh us down. Jesus promises rest, sweet release, peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. I love the truth in the Christmas song, "God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy." You know, that is the gospel in that song, isn't it? Gospel means good news. It's tidings of comfort and joy. The angels told the shepherds on the fields, and it's amazing that we're talking about this here in the middle of the summer with temperatures soaring. I'm telling you, this is not something just for the cooler weather and the Christmas decorations. This is God's message to all of us. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, for unto you in the city of David is born a Savior this day, which is Christ the Lord." And this Jesus says, "Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John Gill states it this way: "Those who come to Christ aright come as sinners to a full, suitable, able, and willing Savior, venture their souls upon him, and trust in him for righteousness, life, and salvation, which they are encouraged to do by this kind invitation, which shows his willingness to save and his readiness to give relief to distressed minds. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the source of the living water of life. the living water that satisfies the hungry and the thirsty soul. I still remember my first few weeks as a new Christian, listening intently as a song was sung at our church. I searched for Him and knew not what I searched for. I longed for Him and knew not what I longed for. Then I found Jesus. I knew that I would search no more. He filled that longing down in my soul. Wow! If you are in a religious system, even if it goes by the title Christianity, and it doesn't fulfill that longing in your soul, I can guarantee you something. You're going to go back in the world and through sinful practices look for fulfillment. But if you find what God offers you, what He promised you and has provided for you in Jesus Christ, He will fill the deepest longings of your soul. And the greatest buffer against temptation, the greatest buttress against His attacks, the greatest fortress against the evil one is to be so satisfied in Jesus that when he tempts us to sin to fulfill some desire, that all those desires are being fulfilled by Christ. And we don't have to sin looking to fill that gaping hole in our heart and our life, because Jesus fills it to overflow. Praise God. Amen. A professor with a PhD in theology without the life-changing encounter with Christ Jesus doesn't know what an authentic Christian knows. It's not just about correct theology and the intelligence to apprehend it and comprehend it. It's about, through correct theology, meeting Jesus Christ. I was just a babe in Christ, but I found this rest, this peace, this hope, this glory. I still thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. I wasn't able to delineate Scripture and understand it very well, but I met the Master. Hallelujah. And His peace and His love fill my soul, fill my life, and it still does today. I'm learning more. I'm trying to become a student of the Word of God that I might rightfully divide it, but I have met the One who said, "Come unto Me," and my life was changed and is still being changed. It's more real to me than the earth, the sky, the moon, and the stars. Friend of mine, Satan is working overtime, make no mistake about it, to replace this powerful, soul-saving, life-changing gospel with a dead, deceptive religious system. An apostate church that decentralizes Christ and the cross and leaves the fallen enslaved by sin and still controlled by Satan. Paul warned about these that had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. And two things are implied in that great verse. It says that, number one, there is a true godliness. And number two, that this true godliness contains power. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I like the paraphrase. It said they will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. Listen to me very carefully. This is a serious issue in the Christian church today. George Barna, the pollster, who had his thumb on the pulse of the church, in his latest study shows that evangelical Christians in America, that our lifestyles are virtually indistinguishable from the culture around us in so many occasions, and from non-believers around us, particularly in the areas of abortion, divorce, and human sexuality and worldview. So we need today to clearly understand, when we come to Jesus and we respond to His call to come to Him, it is supposed to be a life-changing encounter, and it changes us from the inside out. Praise God. Amen. Listen what Paul says. He defines religion in the sense of all that man has made up and through his tradition and his philosophy and his ideology. He defines religion as having the form of godliness, but denying its power. You see, in Ephesus, there was a bunch of folks in that church, teachers in that church, leaders in that church, who had the form of godliness. They looked okay on the outside, but down deep inside, they were denying the very power of God, denying the resurrection power, saying it can't change us, that men and women, boys and girls are hopeless. We cannot be made different. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament, just the contrary, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And goes on to say that we have been translated, if you're an authentic Christian, if you're a true believer in Christ, we have been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We used to sing that camp meeting song, I've been changed. I've been newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay. Oh, thank God. I've been changed. Praise the Lord. What is religion? Religion is nominal Christianity, which is deadly. You see, the danger of nominal Christianity is it gives you enough that it inoculates you against getting the real thing. Religion is all about form over substance. Religion is all about emphasizing tradition rather than the Word of God. Religion evaluates church music by whether or not it's aesthetically appealing rather than whether it can carry the freight of the gospel and deliver the message. Religion is going to church but living a lie. Religion is saying your morning prayers but harboring non-repentant, covetous things in your heart. Religion is mean while being able to say the Apostles' Creed backwards and forwards. Religion is always a temptation. God hates religion and Satan loves religion in that sense. Satan loves for you and me to get caught up in all the machinery of the church, of the faith, as long as that will keep you and I from getting the real thing. Religion is Satan's substitute, and if he can occupy us with that and keep us away from an intimate, personal relationship with Christ, where you and I are surrendered to him, then Satan is perfectly happy with you and me playing church on Sunday and winding up here every time the doors open. Religion is when synods and Robert's rules of order get greater emphasis than an intimate relationship with Jesus. Someone said the greatest scourge on the church are religious pastors, those men and women who are more caught up in bodies, bucks, and buildings, and worrying about keeping the status quo rather than whether people's lives are being transformed by the gospel or not. My friends, religion is never a substitute for the Christian faith, because the Christian faith is not about religion in the sense that I have read. It's all about relationship. Relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ, and relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit and with each other. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, religion will keep us apart, but relationship will bring us together. Did you know something? The word brother or brethren, someone who did the math said it's used over 340 times in the New Testament. Evidently, God is trying to get it through to us that we collectively, corporately, if you've really trusted Christ as your Savior, we, you and I, we are the body of Christ and His members in particular. You know what that word brother, brethren means? It doesn't mean just members of the same denomination. You know what it means? It means that we believe the truth about Jesus Christ. And it comes from a word that means from the same womb. Hallelujah. I like the way one preacher put it. I think it was me. I don't know who I'm quoting anymore. I've quoted so many. Sometimes I quote myself. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter what denomination you're from. If you've truly trusted Christ as your Savior and been born again, then we are womb mates. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a little pun, but let's get into this truth. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the true vine. We don't need a new or different gospel. We simply need to get back to the foundational truths and fundamental principles of the original, the old pathway. And it's all about Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It's all about Jesus. I don't know if I can get all this in these closing moments, but let me just read what one man said. He said, Jesus is. And he said, he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the politicians can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. And the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. New Age can't replace him. And the TV talk shows can't explain him away. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. His mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord. He rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love. His burden is light. His goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this on for size. His goal is a relationship with me. He will never leave me. Never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me. He never fails to take my calls. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He's more than I ever wanted. He's better than I ever dreamed of. He's more beautiful than I ever imagined. He's more than I ever hoped for. He's everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He is God, and he is faithful. I am his, and he is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it, and that settles it. God is in control, and I am on his side. And that means all is well with my soul, for every day God is blessing me. Friend, God can heal your every pain. Whenever you want to talk, He's ready to listen. God can live anywhere in the universe, and yet He offers to live in your heart and in mine. Face it, friend. God is crazy about you. He gave His Son to redeem you and reconcile you unto Himself. And Jesus said, "You that labor, you that are heavy laden, you that feel the weight and pressure of your sin, and the weight and pressure of your guilt, and the weight and pressure of your shame, come unto Me. Take My yoke upon you." It simply means become My disciple. And you will not find a religious box to add to the pressure that's already in your life. You will find a prison door coming open. You will find that you are set free to serve the living and true God. And the joy and fulfillment of serving Him, friend, I can tell you by personal experience, beats every sin that Satan has to offer. It gives us purpose in life, power to live our life above for the weaknesses of our flesh and the temptations of this world. I don't mean sinless perfection, don't get me wrong, but the pursuit of my heart, believe me, is no longer sin. I am pursuing God, His love, His grace, His peace, His tenderness, His mercy. There's nothing in the world like serving Him. Praise God. Literally nothing in the world. And His call today, if you're a Christian and you haven't unloaded and uploaded those burdens onto Him, today can be the day that you come to Jesus with everything that is troubling you and become His true disciple. See, you got to get close to Him to roll the burden on Him. You got to get close to Him in order to trust Him with everything that is pressing you down. You got to come clean with Him if you want that clear conscience before Him. And He says, "Bring it to Me." Jesus is literally saying, "Bring it. Your sins are not too great that I can't forgive them. Your guilt is not too great that I can't give you peace within. There's nothing that has scarred you and marred you so bad that I can't fix you." So He challenges you. He's simply saying, "Bring it. Bring it. Bring it to the foot of the cross. And so doing, bring it to Me." Praise God. "Come unto Me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit." And you will find that rest that you're looking for sin. Some of you are looking through sin to satisfy that deep longing in your soul, that constant aggravation and agitation. Oh, it's all found in Jesus Christ. And today, right now, right where you are, you can come unto Him. He invites you. He calls you. He challenges you. He beseeches you. He implores you. Come unto Me. If you're not a Christian today, would you come to Jesus right now? Would you bow before Him? You know, He knows everything about you, every sin you've ever committed. And yet He called you. Come. Don't run from Me. Run to Me. Come unto Me. All of that burden of guilt and sin, of fearfulness, what happens when you draw your last breath and you hear the footsteps in the hall? Are they coming to take you to heaven? Are they coming to take you somewhere else? Oh, friend, there's only one other place than heaven to go. A place you don't hear of much today. It's called hell. It's real as heaven. Make sure you do not turn away from this great, great opportunity. Come unto Him. He'll lift the burden. He'll set you free. He'll give you comfort. Take away the fear and give you peace. Well, we love you. Come back next week, would you? And let's talk about Jesus. You're my life.
I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand?